Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
All right, g'day everyone. Welcome back to another rankings edition of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fears, and today we're talking forwards. It's been a massive week in fantasy footy. I'm super pumped. Jono, well, say g'day to the listeners, but it's a big day. Monday was a big day for us. The Royal Rumble was on. We've determined the draft order in our home league. How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, g'day, Steve. G'day, listeners. I'm actually a little bit disappointed. We did have the Royal Rumble sitting there with anticipation. I drew Kofi Kingston. So I thought, yeah, I'm a good chance to be in that 4-6 bracket pick. But the creative bastards there at the WWE threw a spanner in the work and just said, nah, we're throwing Brock Lesnar in at one and just punting everyone out for the first 14 picks. So ended up with pick 8. So I'm not too bad with that. I've been pick 8 many times in our league, so I'm pretty comfortable drafting there. But I'm not comfortable drafting next to you yet again.
Yeah, it's about the 69th time we've drafted next to each other. I've got pick 7. I was thinking about it. I was a little bit shitty because I've never had a pick higher than 5.
Same here.
In our home league.
Same
and,
here.
And I thought maybe this was the year not to be, but it should be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of options in the Supercoach this year. It's a really wide open affair for mine.
So who are you thinking pick 7 just straight off the bat, knowing the people in our home league?
Well, you know, the thing is with pick 7 is you're really at the mercy of what happens before you. So we were sort of talking before we started the show and it's like, well, Whitfield should be gone. And it's like, well, hang on, maybe he won't be. Like that's, you know, sort of the thing. And I was sort of like thinking, well, Dusty, maybe Danger Falls, maybe a Josh Kelly. I guess Jake Lloyd's in that bracket, but I'm probably more like when I look at the forwards compared to the defenders, I'd be more okay with, say, a Daniel Rich type as my D1 than, you know,
Devin Smith.
Yeah, exactly right. As my F1, you know, it's that's the thing you got to weigh up. So I think it's really going to be interesting. But Jono, also another thing that happened this week, my God, the situation over in China. I've been doing my rankings. I've been thinking about the St Kilda and Port players, and I never thought I'd see the day where I had to build in coronavirus into a player's range of outcomes. And also, on top of that, where is Koshy going to find another country guilty of so many human rights abuses that he wants to play a game there? All I could think of was Queensland.
I know the Middle East has probably got a few up their sleeves they haven't told us about just yet, have they?
Shoot him into the moon whilst you're at it. but we are talking forwards today. Super excited. People have got a lot of questions about forwards, Jono. It seems like a thin position. We'll be talking about our super coach top 30s. What are your thoughts heading into drafts with the forwards? What do you have a strat? Now you know you've got pick 8, say, in our home league. Do you have a strat going into it?
Yeah, certainly. I think now that I've got pick 8, it's certainly going to lock away that perma-captain. I think at pick 8, you have to lock away that perma-captain because I know the people behind me, I know them pretty well in terms of drafts, so they're going to be going, they'll probably go mid-mid both picks, so I know I'd be able to get either the forward or defender on the way back. And like you, having a look at this list, like the top 30 is pretty solid, but after that it starts to fall away a bit. So I'd be looking to secure one of those top forwards away pretty squarely. And as you're saying, I'd be happy with the Dusty Walters myself as well if they do fall to me coming back on the turn there.
Yeah, I think the top two look pretty clear. Then the rest of the guys will probably have in the top 10 range I'm less comfortable having as my F1, but then there's a whole heap of guys I'd be really happy with as my F2.
Oh, definitely. I think for me, I've ranked them as a F1, but I want them from maybe 7 or 8. I want them as my F2, which,
yeah,
because it drops away pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, why don't we kick it off, Jono, and why don't you roll out your top 5 Supercoach forwards for 2020?
Yeah, number one, no-brainer, is Lachie Whitfield. Look, people think he will maintain his score in a similar fashion. I'm not seeing 110s every average, but 107, 108, I'm pretty comfortable with that. If he falls to me at 8, I'm happy to take him. Number two, Dusty Martin. Does he spend more time forward? We know they've had a bit of an aging midfield there himself, Cochin and all that. So maybe he does spend more time forward instead of that 60-40 split, whatever it was last year. Number three, I've got Michael Walters. He's had a bang a couple of years now, averaged 100 again. Again, things could change there with the Fremantle situation. We haven't heard boo as how their game plan is going to be with that midfield setup. We know Rory Lobb's going to go there, play forward, and Tabner. So is Walters going to run through that midfield? Is he going to go back to a crumbing forward? But if he can does get that midfield time, happy with him at number three. Guy who's safe as houses is Isaac Heaney. He's always been around that mid-90 average. If Horse pulls his finger out and gives him that mid-time that we've all been predicting and hoping for, he's certainly one who can really punch out well above 100, 105 average should he get that mid-time, because we have seen the ceiling Sir Isaac has there. And rounding out my top five, probably not going to get the midfield time, but it is Toby Green. He is a quality forward. If he does play perma forward, he'll kick snags, he does get tackles, and I'm sure he will get time through the midfield, because when we did see him in the midfield, he was actually quite damaging, and that was with his fingers and not his footballing ability.
What is going on? There's a lot of digital work going on right there. So, yeah, I think the top two are pretty squared away, going to be in most drafts. Is Whitfield and a laydown Mazzare to be a top five draft pick, or do you think in Supercoach maybe he has a little bit more of a range, maybe out to, say, a pick eight?
A little bit more range, I think, especially in captains on league. People would be looking at your Fifes, your Neils, your Cripps, McRae and Grundy. So there's already top five right there. So he's certainly a slider for the back half of your draft there.
And Dusty Martin, like, I know you mentioned more forward time, but do you think he can actually go more mid-time?
No, that's what I meant to say. I meant to say if it came across as more forward time, I meant more mid-time in 2020, but... look, if he comes back to me on the turn, then I'm certainly taking him. No questions.
I mean, he's in play for me at pick seven, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, it's something to weigh up, but I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I guess it's what falls to you. The one, I've got Walters at four. I'm really cagey and I don't want to take him.
So you're happy to miss him, but you've...
I've got him ranked there. I think he's going to drop points. We know he was Ross Lyon's boy. And look, he's my favourite player to watch. I love Michael Walters. I think he's a superstar. But you've got, you know, Frio rebuilding, and you've got a new coach coming in, so he's got some grace. Michael Walters isn't young.
Isn't he?
Like, nah, he's been around a long time.
Seems like he's just hit the seams. I know he's played for a while, but it just feels like he's a 24, 25-year-old just hitting his straps. Oh,
well, let me look up his age real quickly, and I'll get the exact number. But I'm really cagey about Michael Walters. I've got Heaney at three. I think I don't think he's going to get that midfield time, but I think he's pretty safe as a forward. But I've got Green at six, so we're pretty similar. But
yeah, I think the top five, a lot of the top five is going to be similar. I'm happy to get any one of them, but definitely Whitfield and Dusty, your tier one bracket forwards for me.
I just feel like guys are going to get, like, Walters, Heaney and Green, I feel like they're fine, but I get the feeling they won't end up where they are, and I don't know who's going to outscore them, but it's just one of those things. So
probably my next two could outscore them, but...
Walters is 29.
Okay, older than I thought.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, coming in at number six for me is the reigning Coleman medalist, Jeremy Cameron. They're getting the midfielders back, so the service is going to be there. Can't see, unless injury stops him, he's going your mid-90s again. Could go a little bit more, but who knows, but I'm pretty comfortable with Cameron there at number six. My boy, Handsome Tom Lynch, coming in at number seven. I'm predicting a real big year for Handsome Tom. Look, we saw in that back half of 2019, he absolutely monstered it. He's got a full preseason there now, so I'm backing Handsome Tom to get back to those 90s that we saw him scoring at the Gold Coast, mid-90s. Could even push a ton, depending on what happens with him and Jack Riewoldt, who gets pushed up the ground or what. Number eight, not comfortable, but it's there. It's Jack Siebel. I don't think his role's changing too much. He'll get some mid-time and still play forward. Might not be a 91 average, but it's going to be a little bit less, I think. Might run some of the younger guys through that midfield where he gets cut out of it. Maybe Sean Higgins is the one who misses out. Just that's a wait and see and a watch. Number nine, I think early on this guy's going to score well. It's Chad Wingard, especially with Tom Mitchell coming back. People going, Tom Mitchell's up and running and kicking footballs. But the thing is, he's not match fit yet. And that's a completely different fitness just to running laps of training. So I think they're going to run Wingard in there and maybe use him as that guy with a bit of pace. Like we saw him at Port Adelaide. He's an all-Australian forward mid. So he's got pace to burn. And if you look at the three mids there, without him, you've got Tom Mitchell, Warple and O'Meara. Not exactly the fastest guys on the planet. So I think he stays in that midfield and will score quite well. And rounding out the top 10 is Jack Stephen. He gets a bit of the bump with the Cali time. I think he gets the mid time there. He's happy at Geelong. Looking pretty lean too as well. So not so much on the donut there. Or
So look, I want to talk. So we got Jeremy Cameron in at six for you. He's at five for me. I'm pretty happy with Jeremy Cameron. I don't think he's as boom bust as maybe some of the other players, and especially Jack Zeeble. I've got him at 11. Okay. He is a particularly boom-bust player.
Yeah, certainly is. Last year, there was weeks when he was rolling through that midfield, he'd pump you out of 54, but then pump you out 154 the next week.
Yeah, so the player I really want to dial in on here is Handsome Tom Lynch. You've got him at 7. I've got him at 10. His average is in the shitter. So there's going to be a discrepancy here. And where does he become value? Where are you comfortable drafting him? Because you've got him ranked at 7. So that suggests to me that you think he's going to finish up as a sort of a back of the third round, start of the fourth round value. You're clearly not drafting him there.
No.
Where do you start pulling the trigger with Handsome Tom in Supercoach?
I'd be looking him at, you said, fourth there. I'd be looking maybe two rounds later, end of the fifth, sixth, seventh, in that sort of that area there. That's where I'd be feeling comfortable to grab him. Like, what's that? I've had maybe three or four mids, one or two defenders, a forward. And if he's my second forward, then I'd be pretty comfortable with Tom Lynch as my second forward.
Really? I would too. I just, in drafts, it only takes one person to jump the gun in front of you and snag the player you like. I still think that's an aggressive approach, round 6 or 7.
No, I'm all in on Handsome Tom this year. I know,
so, you're building the value at that point, though. That's all I'm getting at. His average is 71. That's the 85th forward last year. Obviously, not where he comes in this year. So
no, definitely not. But people might overlook him, go, key forward, 72 average, and just overlook it. And I might be able to jag him a couple of rounds later. But I'll take him when I'm ready at that 5, 6, 7. I'm happy.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely get him in the sixth. And I think most leagues, you'd probably get him 9th, 10th.
Quite possible. But as we say, if you're keen on someone, grab him.
Yeah, and absolutely. Don't want to build in too much of that value, though, Jono.
No.
The other one for me is we want to talk about is the Chad Wingard. He had an okay finish at the end of the year. He got the midfield time, really low time on ground. I've got him at, where's my ranks? I've got him at 16.
Okay.
So that's across the season. I'm with you. I think Titch comes back at some point. Maybe your theory of drafting him a little bit early, getting that early string of games out and then shipping him.
Is that sort of your thought? That was my thought process. Bump up his value, then trade him out for whatever my needs may be, two or three rounds, weeks down the track in the season, and then let him be someone else's problem.
Yeah, I like the chat. There's a lot of trust issues, Jono.
And body issues. But Hawthorn have been good at getting bodies right, so I'm pretty comfortable with the Chad.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you take us through that 11 through 15 range? We'll get into the F2s.
All right, coming in 11, it is the lunch meat himself, Devon Smith, returning from injury. I'm not keen on taking this guy at all, but you've got to rank him somewhere, and I still think he's going to, if he stays fit, he's going to have a pretty good year. He'll play he'll play a lot of midfield time. He won't break the tackles record again, but he'll go damn close trying to doing that again. Number 12, I've got Hugh Greenwood. I think this guy will be... I know you're not a fan, Steve, but I think he's playing midfield time up at the Gold Coast there. He's good at... he might not be the sexiest player going around, but he's elite at a lot of things that the Gold Coast absolutely need. And as a forward, I'm pretty comfortable taking him. Look, if his base is 85, I'm happy as that as an F2. So I'm comfortable with Hugh Greenwood. 13, I probably should have this guy ranked higher. And I think a lot of people do. He's very underestimated. And that's Kane Lambert. This guy just pumps out 88s every bloody year. 88, that's his average. But everyone just gets him, what, round 9, 10, 11 as an afterthought. But he's just a solid forward year in, year out. And I don't know why we don't rank him higher, to be honest. 14.
Because he has no upside, that's why.
Yeah, he's just nice.
Like, he's a good player.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. Just solid. 14, I've got Gaz. It's probably going to be the farewell tour for Gaz. Might not play all 23 games, but he's still going to be thereabouts, scoring pretty well. And how do you pass up Gaz? Seriously, the guy's been a machine for many years. And rounding out my 15 is Jordan Dugowie. There's been talks he's going to be running more mid time than forward time. So we'll just see what happens with Bucks.
We are very different, my friend, and I won't get into my guys until you hit them in your ranks. But 11 lunch meat, you can't feel good about that.
I don't.
Got him at 13. I don't want any part of that dude.
No, neither do I. But you've got to rank him there. Just
he's smashing out the preseason by all accounts.
Fucking, I could smash out a preseason. Well, no, I'm not. That's a bet coming through, and I don't want to do that.
Well, okay, let's get to Hugh Greenwood. You've got him at 12. I've got him at 19, which I feel is really fair. I do not see the midfield time coming at all. If there's one thing Gold Coast were actually good at, it's clearances. They were shit in every other part of the ground. Clearances they could do.
Okay, so you think he's going to be the guy inside 50 just locking it down?
Well, I think he's going to get some play, but it's like this is where I'm worried about Darcy McPherson's, right? So they really do the same thing, right? They lay a heap of tackles, a lot of contested ball. And like you said, he's really good at what he does, right? But that is his limit. He was ranked like 400th and something for uncontested ball. And that's in Adelaide. Like, they can move the ball. This is Gold Coast. They're their worst disposal efficiency in the league. Like, they are shit at moving the ball. You tell me he's going to play forward and get the same opportunity at the Crows? No way. There's no way.
But if he's playing midfield, then that'll balance
it
out.
He's not playing. Well, if you tell yourself the story that he's playing midfield, then your ranking's totally fine. I'm not telling that story.
Yeah. And that's what rankings are all about. It's all about that narrative in our own heads. And
they ran such a massive spread of guys through there last year. I just can't see him going away from your Bowes and probably Roll or whatever the hell his name is, Took Miller. Like, I can't see him really going away from these guys. Swallow's going to be in there. He's a mainstay. They're not going to go away from these guys. Like, Greenwood's not young.
Mm.
They're not going away from these guys for Greenwood's sake. I find that incredibly hard to believe.
Well, Walter Marsh series about 3 weeks away. You can always do the re-rank. I'm happy with that.
Oh, look, I think it's completely fair, and I think a lot of people are going to tell the story that he does play midfield. I just think it's a lazy narrative, to be honest.
Yeah.
Lambo, yeah, I got him at 13, so pretty much the same. Gadge, I got him at 6, man.
Really?
Seven. I'm comfortable.
Okay.
Comfortable. Yeah. Comfortable with Gadge.
You're comfortable with him missing game? You obviously not picking him as an F1, but...
No.
No. You'd what? Bottom line, F3, you'd want him at?
I think... No, well, look, I think he's going to... I'll be happy with him. I'll take him as my F1 if that's how the chips fall.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll mute my mic when I take a drink.
I know I'll have to replace him for 4 games.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when he's on the park, he scores. They've lost Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly do? He goes forward and kicks goals. It's the same thing Gary Ablett does.
23-2 goals, I think his average was last year.
Mate, he fucking killed it.
Yeah, 96 average. Can't complain.
And the goalie, man, I just can't wear it. I got him at 18.
Okay. You are a Collingwood hater, so it's fine.
It's true. he's fine, but he's not going to play midfield. There's no way.
No, not even. You think he's that main forward up there with who have they got? Bloody Stephenson and all that. Well, Stephenson's still got glandular fever, so it's still a watch on him as well.
Yeah, I think he's too valuable forward man for him. They got the guys in the midfield.
Yeah. We'll see. Coming in at 16 is the Tomahawk. We know Josh Jenkins is coming in, but maybe this helps him out. You always need a partner in crime. We've seen it with Ruffy and Buddy, so I think this helps him out immensely. Look, he's always been fine. He always have some banger games, but he also does put out some crap. It was actually his second half of the year. Was quite average, to be honest. So Jenkins maybe helps him out because he gets a bit tired. 17, I've got Jack Darling. Been pretty keen on this guy for a number of years. I've owned him a few times, and he's been pretty good. So with JJK coming at the end of his career, Darling has stepped up to take that role. And even Oscar Allen might be that number two folly behind Darling now that JJK is rolling into a retirement there. 18, I've got Jack Gunston. I know he's had the injury concerns over the preseason, but he's solid. He is super solid. And with Mitch Lewis and John Patton coming into that team, Gunston might have a chance to get up the ground, take a few more contested marks. Might be down on the goals, but the possessions to mark ratio will be there to give him a nice balanced average. 19, I've got the Dawson. I'm probably going to play him in my defense, but Jordan Dawson, he's had a banger year. Will probably continue to go on his merry ways at the Swans there. Again, they're probably going to change a few dynamic things up in that back line and a shift in the midfield, so he'll still score well. And number 20, his number is actually comparable to Devon Smith, and that's Darcy Parrish. I think I've mentioned it before in the pod that a couple of years ago when Devon Smith had the tackles record, that Darcy Parrish's numbers were pretty much exactly the same, barring the number of tackles per game. So pretty hard for two blokes to average 8 tackles per game. So I'm pretty keen on Darcy Parrish as well this year.
You are nowhere keen as me, my friend. I have him at 9. Very bullish on Parrish. I think they force him into that midfield. He's one of their better inside mids. I think they've seen it. The time on ground was piss poor last year. I think that bumps up. Another preseason under the belt. He's shown all the traits. Really a lot. You know, he's had big games with contested ball, big games of tackles, big games uncontestable. I really like him. I think this is the year, and I'm really bullish on him.
And that's one of the things about Parrish is that we've seen him in the last few years. Like his first halves, he'll be on 90 at halftime, and then only score 4 for the second half because he's just absolutely gassed. So, as you said, another preseason, build that tank out for him. And you've got him at 9. That's unreal. I can see it, but yeah, I'm comfortable there at the back end as my F2.
It's aggressive. It's aggressive, and I don't think you have to draft him in, like, say, the fourth or fifth round. You probably get him a round or two later than that. But really, shown a really high floor as well, Jono. I really like that. I want to touch on Gunston. I've got him at 31, and I love Jack Gunston, but I feel 18's very aggressive.
Yeah, as I said, look, he has got that injury issues, but again, it is Jack Gunston. Hardly has a poor year. Again, he'll probably be down on goals, as I said, with Patton and Mitch Lewis there, but he'll make up for it in the marks pushing up the ground a bit. So why have you got him at 31?
Oh, just the injury. And I'm not sure, you know, and Titch's injury plays into it a little bit. Like if he's going to be slow start, easing back into things, he might be, you know, soaking up some possessions across the half forward line. And maybe the Hawks aren't as good as maybe I thought they could have been. Yep. You know, maybe they take a bit of time to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a slow build as well, the Hawks. Yep. But I'm still comfortable with Gunston there.
Sure, and that's fine. Darling, I had it 14, so I'm, again, pretty aggressive on Darling. He averaged 95 after round 7 last year or something like just...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Blowing up, yeah. So I think we're in the ballpark on the other guys. You were a bit more aggressive on Hawkins. Yep. I think that the start of the Cats last year was just so hot.
Yeah, and I see that balancing out throughout the whole year, and I don't think he falls away in the second half like he did last year. It'll just be more balanced out.
Yeah, fair enough. Why don't we kick it off in the 20s then?
Do we have to? It's not getting better. It is not getting better.
Well, you say that, but there's some hot names, man. There's some guys there I'm really keen as an F3.
There is. 21, Darcy Mack. We've spoken about it. He's going to be in tandem there with Hugh Greenwood. I know you don't like it, but if you get one or the other, would you be happy? Probably.
No.
No. Don't want any bar of it.
It depends where they go, right?
Yeah.
And well, I think they're both going to go too early.
And look, if I miss them, that's fine. There's plenty of guys around this mark that I'm happy to get and happy to miss. 22, good personality, Tom Lynch. He just gets the job done. He runs around like a gazelle there. Can't miss him. Big red-headed fella. So they'll be probably looking to use the ball a bit more efficiently. We know he's great building his score through marks and the long kicks, which are effective in Supercoach. Coming in next at 23, I've got Luke Dalhouse. He's nothing special. We know he's not getting that midfield time like we saw him getting at the Bulldogs, but 85 to maybe 90 is probably his range. I'm comfortable taking him as an F3. It won't be super early in those middle rounds, 8, 9, 10, 11 perhaps, when I'm searching. Jack Martin, in at 24, he was training or in the match sims at Carlton, he was with the A team there, so he's taken CBAs and coming off the half forward there, so looks like he's going to be rolling through the midfield there, Jack Martin. And coming in at 25, it's Brad Ebert. We know he's had the concussion issues and a few other injuries. I'm looking at him, maybe he swaps back into that midfield with Boak, maybe. But if not, he was still a pretty good... when he did play Perma forward, he was averaging 90s. So this guy coming back from injury, if he can stay fit, I'm pretty comfortable taking him there.
Yeah, fair enough. I got no issues with Ebo. We're one spot apart, so not much to talk about. I think he covered it pretty well. His dude's got a great scoring history.
Yep.
Usually very reliable for games played.
And yeah, like and he was the one who went forward because of both going to the midfield. That's why.
Yeah, I'm not sure he gets that perma mid time, but he can play wing. He can play all over the shop, and he'll probably score okay.
Yeah.
Is an F3
value. There's a lot of value for
him. That's fine. Darcy Mack, I got a 33. I can't have a bar of this shit.
That's fine.
I fucking love Darcy Mack, but I just don't want to. You can't. Man, no way. And it's not just Hugh Greenwood. They bring in the number one pick. Jack Bowes comes back from injury. Man, I just do not see that mid-time.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how Gold Coast roll out because they've got the first two picks with that Rowell and Anderson as well. So
yeah, well, Anderson's not playing in the midfield, surely.
I don't know. I don't know too much about Anderson. So it's this Rowell, the man-child, that's been touted.
You know, and they got Rankin coming in, like don't get me wrong, I love Darcy McPherson and love his game. For fantasy football, man. May as well rank him 69. GP Tom, man, and I love GP Tom. He's our boy. I got him at 25. The injuries have got to be a worry.
F3. Like
the injuries worry me.
Last year he had the injuries, didn't he? And he gets stupid ones, doesn't he?
Yeah, so, and like they were calf last year, so I'm a bit worried about, and the problem is he's kind of in between someone you can drop when they get injured and someone you can hang on to. Like, you don't feel great hanging on to him, but you can't let him go.
Yeah.
So he's just going to suck up a bench spot.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, and I like him, but you know, whatever. Dalhouse, I've got at 28, just a bit lower. But I want to talk about Jack Martin, man. I got him at 15. I'm aggressive, Jack Martin. I reckon he's going to kick it in the dick.
Oh, I can see it. I understand that. I've probably ranked him a bit conservative until I've seen more. Like we've done these ranks before all this news came out, so it could have been just a conservative pick for me, but. If he's playing in that midfield, he's gonna smash it. He won't be a forward for much longer.
I reckon he'd be a little bit of a forward because they're missing, like, Kerno's going to miss a whole shitload of time. He might be someone who starts slow, I trade in, but I reckon he's going to punch it out of the park, man. Like, you're talking about a team like Gold Coast who couldn't move the ball at all, and I know Carlton aren't heaps better, but they're better.
Yep.
I reckon he's going to smash it, man.
Agreed. Where'd you say he had it?
So, 15.
I can see. Not too far apart.
Yeah. Ooh, that's... Anyway, that's finish right. out your top 30, John. Give us your last five.
Last five, 26, Christian Petracca. The guy is a machine. He's got to do something some stage and get that midfield time. And he has been training with the midfield time, so look, more mid time.
Oh, mid time.
Hashtag more mid time. There it is, folks. So he's going to get a bump, I think. Robbie Gray, he's just solid. He's just solid. He'll get his time in the midfield. He'll kick. There'll be a few games where he kicks 6 or 7 goals and score 150 from 4 possessions. And yes, I know that math doesn't work, but that's how Supercoach works. It doesn't make sense, but we roll with it. Jeremy Finlayson coming in at next. He's a great folly for Jeremy Cameron. If Jeremy Cameron goes down, he's the guy who's getting that bump. Him and Himmelberg. So that's the pecking order. Cameron, Finlayson, Himmelberg. I love the guy. I did actually have him for a little bit. I used him as a rolling fifth forward, and he was fine. Had some banger scores, and he, like most forwards, gave you some crap, but I'm pretty happy with Finlayson. This guy who I'm really keen on, it's Connor Rosie. I've got him there, 29, but I could have him higher. You don't like him? I'm pretty keen on him this
29,
week.
My friend.
I know I'm not getting him at 29, but I'm massively confident. I'm happy to take him earlier. And my last pick is your boy, Andy Brayshaw, at number 30. Again, I might not get him at 30 because you've probably picked up Rosie and Brayshaw before me.
That's a good hypothesis. Let's talk about CP5 because I've got him at 21.
Okay, not worlds apart.
But what I want to talk about, Jono, and I'm bullish as well, obviously, but we're sort of all sitting here saying more midfield time. Melbourne have brought in 2 wingmen. Mm. So that's going to squeeze the midfield, surely. So how does he actually get in there? I really like his floor. I think he showed a good floor at the end of last year. If we mirror him against another slow burn half forward, Paul Chapman, this is sort of when Paul Chapman started to really kick things into gear.
Saying James Harms is training with the defence and playing with defence, and that opens a spot up there in the midfield. We know now Gus Brayshaw has had that ligament in his arm. I know it's only a month, and he's going to miss the first Marsh Series game, so we could see Petraka thrown in the midfield there for that first Marsh Series and see how he swims. So there is options there now for Petraka to really cement that midfield position, especially with Brayshaw out and potentially James Harms playing in the defence there. And we've also seen James Harms play that Petraka forward role as that lockdown forward role. So I know Jake Melsham plays that now, but it's something that could happen as well.
Sure. So Robbie Gray had it 27. I like Robbie Gray. He's there for me.
Yep.
Finlayson, man, I can't wear that shit. I got him at 46.
Okay.
I think he's totally capped, man. I've got Himmelberg in front of him, not much higher, but
so I've got Himmelberg.
I don't see the upside. Like, he's the second fiddle.
Exactly right. And like we've seen Buddy and Ruffhead 1-2, and they've been top to fours before. I know it's not going to be like that, but there is a world where Finlayson has a bit more upside if Cameron does get injured.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And Connor Rosie, I got it 22. Richie Benno's number. Choo-choo.
Yeah, he's going to, as you said, kick it in the dick.
He's fucking good, that dude.
We get a t-shirt, kick it in the dick.
We can do something. Brayshaw had it 27, so we're in the same ballpark. Yeah. I think Freo are going to be... Sorry, Freo fans. I think Freo are going to come dead last.
Interesting. New game style, new rotations. Missed out for you?
Who did we miss out on here?
J-Roo just misses. I think what do you have? Average of 60.
Oh, sorry, man. I actually moved him. I moved him down to 34.
He's just out. I think he's about 31, 32, 33 for me. So he's someone who could have been in there. Buddy I had in there, but moved him out. I'm just not confident at all. But I still think he's another one who could brain it. J-Roo there. And it's just the guys I really don't like. Like, I've got Westhoff floating around there, Tommy McDonald, Paddy Ryder, those sorts of blokes. Stevenson is like, I don't like them, but as an F4, you'd be fine taking them.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got the guys who I had in my top 30 who you do not have. Brandon Parfitt, I had at 26.
Yeah. Can see it.
Buying the hype, bit of, you know, Mitch Duncan's had a slow preseason, Joel Selwood's had the ham bone, Tim Kelly's gone, Brandon Parfitt showed good traits in areas. I'll buy that. Got Johnny Seggs at 29. Mm-hmm. If he ends up as a prime rock and McAvoy's playing defense, which I've got to be honest, I find really hard to believe, but even the Hawk track watchers are saying that's how it's shaping out. I mean, he could be an F1.
Yeah. Oh,
if that shakes out, man.
Well, that's right. Like, you imagine we're watching the Mars series and there's Big Boy in defense and there's the big Kegs taking the rock. He's just shooting straight up your draft boards.
Yeah.
But can you imagine? I'm just going on the Kegs there. Can you imagine, though, when Clarko finally makes a switch and fucking Kegs just shits the bed?
Yeah, it's not going to happen all year, even if it starts that way, is it?
No, it's not.
No. It's a terrible spot to be drafting him.
Yeah.
I think the people who draft Segler aggressively because he's playing that number one role, by round 6 or 7, they're going to be like, oh, shit.
We're not winning clearances or doing anything, so.
McAvoy's a good ruckman.
Fucking oath he is.
And at 30, I had Gresham. He just showed a really good floor.
Yeah. No, I can see it. I think he's already there in that F4 range for me as well, so. Yeah, I can see it.
What are you doing with Blake Akers, man? He's been a hot topic this preseason. I got him at 37.
Blake Akers. What the hell did I do with Blake Akers? I don't want a part of him. There you are, 42. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah. Who are the guys you got deeper down who you're... Maybe you've got a bit of interest in as a bench stash, Jono.
Definitely Mitch Lewis from Hawthorn. I'm pretty keen on him. I think we've spoken about Oscar McInerney ad nauseum. Charlie Cameron can be something, I think, but I think he's capped. He'll be a solid 80 each and every week. One that interests me, it's Bailey Fritsch. Now, Adam Tomlinson has just come back to the main groups, so you think it's going to be him and Ed Langdon gets first crack at that wing position there. If Tomlinson doesn't work out as a wingman, he's going into a key post, and I think Bailey Fritsch is a man who gets that wing opportunity, which we saw in spurts in 2019 and actually scored pretty well. So I'm pretty keen there on Bailey Fritsch. He's going to be end of the draft lottery ticket. There could be something.
Yeah, I love Fritsch. I just don't see it for him, man. I think the role's going to be forward and...
Oh, like I said, Tomlinson and Langdon get first crack, but if it doesn't work out, then I think they'd roll the dice on Fritsch.
Yeah, some guys I really like is bolters, and I'll start off with Shai Bolton himself. We saw he got the midfield role for a few games there, and he absolutely smashed it. Like him, Orazio Fantasia...
Interesting.
Had the 83 coming into last year. He's had his injury battles over the years, but man, he's like 30 points under what he did the year before. No one's talking about him. Arreston going to be better? Probably not, but they'll be fine. Rowbottom, we kind of like him as a second year player, like at the Swans, really showed some signs last year. Shitty time on ground, but he showed some good traits. And, Jono, one I'm going to throw at you, I've got him ranked at F58 with Charlie Kurnow being injured for the first half of the year. Levi Casbolt. Second half of last year was absolutely smashing.
Harry McKay. I'm on the McKay train. Nah. I'm on the McKay train. I've got him there together. Excuse me, but I think I've got McKay ahead. Yeah, I've got McKay ahead, but not by much. Not by much.
Imagine last year you said to someone, hey, in a year, you're going to rank Levi Casbolt in front of Toby McLean.
You would be punched in the face and run out of town.
It just wouldn't happen, would it? That's how it's fallen, man.
It has fallen. I've ranked both of them ahead of Toby McLean.
It hasn't gone well for Toby.
It has not. But hey, there is a role there for him, especially with the liver's injury. So,
anyway, okay, let's get on to the questions. We had some listener questions. Let's get them through them quickly. Coxie, do you feel dirty ranking Ebert as a top 10 forward? And is he higher than Track or Akers? This might be fantasy related.
I think so, but yeah, I don't. Yeah, I can't remember where I ranked him in the fantasy section. I have to have a look.
I got him at 14, and I'm not super keen on Akers at all. I don't understand the love.
I'm not keen on Akers at all.
Yeah. Russ, Stephen's a risk. Kelly's gone. Parfitt could get more mid time and average 82 plus. Should we be fawning over him like Brayshaw?
Yes, I can see that that narrative playing out.
Yeah, I've got him ranked slightly in front of Brayshaw, so I'm completely with you, Russ.
Yep.
Alex asks, with forwards thin, what strat do you take? Do you rank mids who may get DPP higher? So this is probably a fantasy question as well.
Yeah, I don't like ranking on the basis of someone getting forward status. Look, if they're there at the right time, like we spoke at the top of the show, if Dusty or Whitfield fall to us in our home drafts, 7 or 8, then they're certainly coming into consideration. I mean, if Whitfield's there at 7 or 8, how do you go past him?
Yeah, I think the top guys really separate himself, maybe in fantasy. Up, you know, Toby Green's an interesting one because I was sitting here thinking, man, Toby Green's going to be, he's going to lose 7 points, 8 points, but that could still put him in the top 5 dream team forward category.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Because it does.
Yeah, and I don't draft for position changes either, but one guy I would say might go late enough to warrant a selection is Dom Sheed.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Can see him getting DPP later in the year.
Anthony asks, thoughts on Lipinski and Gresham? Jono, you're the Bulldogs, man. Lipinski.
Well, I was actually pretty cold on Lipinski. I know he's been getting a little bit of love in salary cap formats and that, but it's very hard when you've got the Bont, Dunks, and McRae there. But he was that fourth midfielder. My narrative was that with Libba's back, Libba's in that midfield because it's the only position he plays. But now that he's had that knee injury and he's set for bit of time off from the preseason, I can see where now Lipinski gets back into that team, playing as that fourth midfielder in the rotation and playing forward. But the Dogs have a lot of mid forward types. We've seen it with McLean, Wallace, Lin Jong, Lipinski. These are all guys fighting for that position. So certainly a watch for me over the Marsh series as to how they set up.
You smashed it on those guys, like. They've all scored well when they're in there. The problem is they're not always in there.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and we saw it with Dunkley early in his career. Like, he was playing forward mid and was your 80, 85. And now that he's now perma mid, he's braining it. So, but you can only have 3 in there. So, I find it hard that they score better. I find it hard to own them too.
Yeah, and sorry, on Gresh.
Gresh, it's going to be an interesting one with St Kilda. Rats come out and said that, you know, Jack Steele's going to be off the chain and all this bull crap, and we did see Gresham run through that midfield. But, again, it's a watch for me. They've got the wingman in there and Bradley Hill and Jack Billings and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to be keen to see how the Saints set up with their midfield this year.
I reckon St Kilda are the hardest team to project, Jono, and I would estimate at the end of the draft, I will have very few St Kilda players in there. Can I just touch back on Alex's question? He asked, what strat do you like? I wouldn't mind touching on this just a little bit more because I think it's a super interesting question. Like, we've mentioned, and there's a couple of mainstays at the top of the draft, but are you happy drafting, say, Jeremy Cameron in round 3?
No, I'm not.
So we move on to Tom DT. Expectations for Menegola. Surely he bounces back. He's not a forward though, is he?
Mid only.
Yeah, mid only.
Yep.
But what are your thoughts on Menegola anyway for Tom?
Yikes. What the hell is going on there? I've got him ranked pretty lowly this year because I just don't know what his role and setup's going to be. Like, they've got more forwards in there. They've got Jack Stephen in there. He was out of that midfield last year with Tim Kelly and that, so where's he playing? Is he off the half-back line? Is he on a wing? I really don't know.
He might be, actually. If you were someone playing for DPPs, he might be a great candidate because he's going to go super late, Jono.
Super late, and yeah, like I said, I honestly don't know where he's playing, what position he's going to be starting because it's going to be limited mid-time, you would think.
I think he's worth a bench spot.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely worth a bench spot.
Supercoach mids. I got him at mid 66 in Supercoach.
Yeah, I dare say.
I think it's pretty fair.
It'd be somewhere around where I've got him, maybe 70, a little bit, tiny bit later.
Totally fair. I think M7. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Dynawhite asks, what's the likelihood of Dalhouse taking up his old fantasy-friendly role from the Doggies with the Cats player movement, you know, with Kelly out and Stephen in?
Yeah, I spoke about that when we were talking about him through the ranks there. I don't see that happening there at the Cats. I just see him being that solid 85, maybe a 90 forward. And we saw that when he was at the Dogs. When he was first recruited at the Dogs, he was recruited as a pressure forward and only got time through the midfield due to injuries that year where he banged out, I think it was 105 in the both formats there. So come back into, you've got a stellar midfield there and a lot of young kids coming through at the Cats. So I find it hard to see he gets that regular midfield time.
Andrew asks, he's drafting his first keeper league from scratch. What are three strategies you would recommend?
Check out the website with the Stato's tips. But honestly, watch out for the age of some players. You might go, yeah, Dangerfield's great player in that, but how many years has he got left? So you'd be looking at guys, in your mid-20s, 23, 24, those guys who have sort of broken out or are about to break out, who will be the nucleus of your team, really, for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So that's what I'd be looking at.
Yeah, I'm probably the other way, man. I'd say don't discount the old guys. Like, you can win first year. Like, you got your other team, your other league mates like Dossie who are drafting all the 18-year-olds, and you can pick up guys, yeah, like Danger, who just drop in your draft. You know, winning first year is as good as winning fifth year.
That's true. That is true. That's true.
Yeah.
And then trade a bit when they've got some value still as they're dropping off the cliff.
And I will also say this. If you look at all the gun midfielders who are established as 100-plus midfielders in the game today, by and large, they have come from the forward ranks. So if you wanted to take shots, take them at the MF area, and they hopefully will develop into gun midfielders for you. And Scott, last question, asks, GP Tom?
Yes.
He's still in the league.
He's still alive.
No, we like GP Tom.
We do. We do love him.
He's everywhere. Also, hey, we hit the 250 iTunes rating, so Stato's got to do something.
Kick, flip, kick. It's not that kick flip can't be that hard. Maybe we put it to the listeners. Something that's not going to kill him or make him sick. Maybe we should make him eat the spicy corn chips.
Well, Stato likes spicy things.
Yeah, there you go, Stato. You're now eating spicy corn chips. You wash it down with some Harvest Lane.
That would be the challenge. So we'll see you next week and we'll talk midfielders. Man, I can't wait to get into the Braden Sire M2 talk. Awesome. We'll see you then.